And we were back on 10A, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
We're on the feud.
Yeah, let me get myself back here.
You don't know. So the Gemara mentions a short explanation of Rava for the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, if you recall, is of the opinion that if you have a Beis Din that's judging an accused criminal of a violation of a law for which he gets malchus, we need a Beis Din of 23 judges. And Rava's explanation was that malchus bimkom misa omedes. And we have a number of interpretations, basically Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi was of the impression that he's really chayv misa, but the Torah was compassionate and gave a particular form of misas beis din, which is called malchus. And that's, shall we say, a fifth column. You know, that's a fifth category of misas beis din. That was Rashi's shita. Tosfos' shita was no, that what we're afraid of is that he might die. That when we give him the 39 lashes, he might die. And he's only chayv malchus. He's not chayv misa at all. So according to Rashi, he's really chayv misa, but we'll let him get away with this form of misa, which he'll hopefully survive. Whereas the shita of Tosfos in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim is so radically different, because Tosfos is insisting that he's only chayev malchus, he's not chayev misa. But we had two questions that we raised on Tosfos. First of all, when Tosfos wants to prove that indeed when you give out malchus he may die, Tosfos seems to be compelled to prove that there's a possibility that he might die, and Tosfos therefore points in the direction of a sugya in Masechta of Malchus. The sugya Masechta of Malchus, quoting Abba Shol, derives from Chativas Eitzim that if an individual is involved in a mitzvah and he accidentally kills someone, he doesn't go into Golus, because that's not similar to Chativas Eitzim. Chativas Eitzim is called Rishus, but if he's involved in a mitzvah, he's exempt from Golus. And Abba Shol gives three examples of someone who kills someone unintentionally and he doesn't go to Golus because he's involved in a mitzvah. And the third example, which is the one that's relevant to us, is the Shliach Beis Din. What does that mean, the Shliach Beis Din? So we're going to start with Rashi and the Rivan. They both understood that Shliach Beis Din means he was meeting out 39 malchus and the criminal who was getting the malchus died. And the question is, does the Shliach Beis Din, who killed this person through hitting him with this strap, does he have to go to Golus as a Rotzeach B'Shogeg? And the answer of Abba Shol is no. We're going to derive from the equation to Chativas Eitzim that since he's involved in a mitzvah, he's the Shliach of Beis Din, he's exempt from Golus. That's the way Rashi and the Rivan understood the Gemara in Makis on Daf Ches of Abba Shol. Now that sugya in Makis appears at the end of the Masechta on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, and the language of the Mishnah there on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis in Makis is in Meis Tachas Yado. If the victim dies under the hands of so and so, we don't know who that so and so is. Potter. That so-and-so is Potter from Golus. And as we said before, Rashi and the Rivan understand that so-and-so, that person, that anonymous person who killed someone and is Potter from Golus, is the Shliach Beis Din who's meeting out the 39 Malchus. So Tosfos quotes that Gemara, which appears twice in Masechta Malchus, to prove that indeed it's possible that when you give malchus, the nilke, the person who received the malchus, might die. So our first question is, why does Tosfos feel compelled to prove his point by quoting a Gemara Malchus when this is a mitzius, this is a reality, that you give malchus and the person might just die? Second question that we want to ask on Tosfos is that Tosfos says that the Mishnah says umes tachas yado patur, and the question that we want to raise is the following. His chiyuv is malchus, and as a result of the malchus he died. Says Rabbi Yishmael, we need a bezdin of 23. Why do we need a bezdin of 23? The judgment that the bezdin is going to hand down is that he's chayv malchus, and presumably he's not going to die because of the malchus. We're not imposing upon him, by virtue of the ruling of the judges, a chiv misa. We're judging him for a chiv malchus. So Rabbi Shmuel has to decide how many judges you need for a judgment of malchus. If you're condemning him to get malchus, you're not condemning him to get misa. Why does Rabbi Shmuel jack up the number of judges from 3 to 23? Because he might die. What do you mean he might die? What does that have to do with Bezdin? Bezdin has to decide whether he's guilty as accused of this crime, and he's chayv therefore malchus, or he's not chayv malchus. But it's not within the purview of Bezdin that they have to decide, well, could he possibly die? Okay, those were the two questions that we had on Tosfos. Now, what is the case in Makkos? We said that according to Rashi and the Rivan, it's a case of a Shliach Bezdin who's meeting out the punishment of Malchus. However, the Rambam has a different pshat, and he interprets that we're talking about a Shliach Bezdin who was sent by Bezdin to bring the litigant into court. The litigant refused to show up in Bezdin. Let's say, for example, there's a plaintiff and there's a defendant. Or for that matter, maybe there's only one person who's on trial and he's being accused of a criminal and he refuses to show up in Bezdin. So Bezdin sends a shliach, and that shliach is allowed to, if necessary, to beat up the guy until he agrees to show up in Bezdin. And as a result, he died. So the Rambam says in this case, he's potter from Golus because it's not dumya de chativas eitzim. Chativas eitzim, which is the case of Golus in the Torah, is l'dvar reshus. This case is a case of a dvar mitzvah. The Ravid says that this is not a case of a shliach bezdin who was sent in order to bring a person into court, rope him into court. That pshat of the Rambam says the Ravid is a little bit too far out. I mean, why should we discuss that case? The classic shliach bezdin is the shliach bezdin who's meeting out malchus. Says the Ravid, you know why he killed him? He killed him because instead of giving him 39 malchus, he accidentally gave him 40 malchus, and as a result of the extra strike, the man died. And now we want to understand, why is it that both the Rambam and the Ravid are deliberately avoiding the interpretation of Rashi and the Rivan? Rashi and the Rivan say that if he meets out the number of malchus that he was meant to meet out, he didn't go beyond that number, and the victim died. That's a case of a shliach bezdin who caused the death of someone else. He's a shogeg in ritzicha, but on the other hand, he's involved in a mitzvah. And it's not dumya de chativas eitzim. What coerced the Rambam to come up with this unusual interpretation, meaning it's not the simple translation of a shliach bezdin, which always means the shliach bezdin who's giving malchus, but instead, no, it's the shliach bezdin who's beating him up in order to bring him into court. What compelled the Rambam to drop the ball on Rashi's pshat? Did the Rambam have some sort of objection? He was irritated by Rashi's pshat. And the same question we could ask him on the Ravid, that the Ravid says that the shliach bezdin went beyond the 39 malchus and he gave a 40th malch. Why does the Ravid feel compelled to interpret it that way? Why just simply say that he gave him the 39 malchus as he was meant to give it, and the man died? So here we have a gewaldige chiddush of Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim wants to suggest that both the Rambam and the Ravid had a major objection to Rashi and the Rivan. Because keep in mind that the Ptur Malchus in the case of a Shliach Bezdin is derived from the equation to what? To Chativas Eitzim. It's got to be Dumya de Chativas Eitzim to Rishus. Here the Rambam and the Ravid have a question, have an objection. Why do you need this drasha of Chativas Eitzim. Forget about the drasha of Chativas Eitzim. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why the shliach is patur. And the answer is because the shliach was not responsible for the death of the victim. What does that mean? That's called, in the language of the Shas, Ein Bo Kidei Lahamis. That the murder weapon that was used, given the, you know, all the other variables, did not have the power, the ability to kill the person. What leads me to that conclusion? Because of the halacha called Umdana, or Omed. Omed Lamalkus means that we, before we give the okay, the license for the Shliach Bezin to mete out the punishment of Malkus, we first have to assess whether or not this victim, this Over Avera, this Avarian, could indeed survive these Malkus. And it could be that they evaluate that he can survive only X number of Malkus, and after that it's very dangerous, he might die. Now, we have a principle called Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. What does that mean? When Beis Din puts someone to trial for murder, what they have to evaluate is, given that this was the murder weapon, did the murder weapon have enough of a power of killing, of danger, that it was responsible for his death? Maybe he died for some other reason. Now, once in the case of a Mechuyev Malkus, we have an evaluation as to whether or not he can survive these Malkus, then we've already determined that this Malka, that the Shliach Beis Din is enjoined to give out, is Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. Because if it's Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis, then the Umdana, the Umdana has to give a no answer. You know what I'm saying? What has to appear on the screen is, don't go ahead and give him Malkus because it's Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. So the whole purpose of the Umdana is to establish something that's Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. If it's Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, then obviously there's no Golus. And this you'll see on the top left was the last thing we discussed yesterday. On the fourth line, he says, Gam l'chiyuv Golus be'inan Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. The Kol HaPaturim she'yeshnam l'chiyuv Misa, that means in a case of Mezid, Potrim or Pturimim Gam b'migolus. Which means that the criterion for a Rotzeach b'Mezid to be put to death are identical with the criterion for sending a Rotzeach b'Shogi into Golus. In both cases you need a Maisa Ritzicha. Just in one case he was deliberate, in the one case he was not, in the second case he was not. So this principle of Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis, meaning did the murder weapon have the capacity, the potential of putting this guy to death? You know, you can't stick a guy in his stomach with a feather and say he's going to die, right? So that's Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. So we have a stone that he threw at him. Perhaps he hit him with an egg rope with his hand. You know, he gave him a box over the head. And that was Kedei Lahamis. Well, in the case of Malkus, let's go back to our discussion of why the Rambam and the Ravid refused to interpret the Gemara of Abba Shol in the light of the interpretation of Rashi and the Rivan. The answer is because according to Rashi and the Rivan, he would be potter from Golus simply because he wasn't responsible for his death. It was Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. And how do I know it was Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis? Because it was an Umdana. And what did the experts determine at the end of the Umdana? That these are the amount of Malkus that he can give without killing the victim. And beyond that, you'll kill the victim. Now, if that be the case, then every Shliach Beis Din, when he implements Malkus, he's in a situation of Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, which means that he wasn't responsible for his death. There were other elements that contributed to his death. And that's the evaluation that we're going to make. And if that be the case, it's Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, meaning if the victim died, then it's not a result of the blow that was handed to him by the Shliach Beis Din. Because the Shliach Beis Din, as a result of the Umdana, is in a situation that can be described as Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. The male, if there's no Maisa Ritzicha, then for sure he doesn't go into Golus. Because all the requirements of Golus that are derived from those rules and regulations, those conditions have to be met with regard to the Chiyuv Misa. So I need to have everyone on board here. So what I'm trying to suggest here is that Reb Chaim came up with a brilliant answer to the question, what inhibited the Rambam and the Ravid from interpreting the Gemara of Abba Shaul in a simple way, what we call Al Pi Derech HaPshat, the simple way. The simple way was that of Rashi and the Rivan, that the Shliach Bezdin was meeting out 39 Malkus, and the guy died. Despite it all, the guy died. The Avaryan, you know, who was guilty of the was found condemned guilty of the sin of the crime, was found guilty, and we meted out the 39 Malkus, and guess what? Sad news, he died. Does the Shliach Bezdin go into Golos or not?
No.
Why not? Says Abba Shaul, because of the equation to let's get the language then. Chativas Eitzen, which is only Rishus. Here he was involved in a mitzvah. Why did the Rambam avoid that? Why did the Ravid avoid that? The answer is because they had a fundamental question. Lomi boy, I don't need to quote the halach of Dumya de Chativas Eitzen, that you need a Rishus as opposed to a mitzvah in order to pater him up from Golos. You know why he's pater from Golos? Because he didn't kill the guy. I know he didn't kill the guy because the blows that he dealt this criminal were Ein Bo Kedei Lamis. How do I know there was Ein Bo Kedei Lamis? Because of Umdana. The Umdana itself establishes it as Ein Bo Kedei Lamis. So why did he die? He does the cash. You have a question. Did the Malach Moses take his life? He had a heart attack. I don't know why he died. He died. But not because of the blows that were dealt to him by the Shliach Bezdin. So that means that the Shliach Bezdin did not implement the Maaser Tzicha. So why do I need a whole drasha with the, you know, I call it somersaults in the air. Well, the Torah describes the case of Golos. He was up on the top of a tree and he was cutting down the wood and he killed him. And that's only Rishus. Well, I don't need that. Let me grant you that the Shliach Bezdin is involved in a Rishus and not a Mitzvah. I would still say he doesn't go into Golos. There's no Maaser Tzicha because the Umdana established that those blows are Ein Bo Kedei Lahanis. But now, Rabbosai, and this is the point that we ended share with yesterday, we have to turn around the tables here and ask a kash on Rashi and the Rivan. Because although we've now justified the Rambam and the Ravid, they have to come up with a whole new scenario, a whole new interpretation of the Dumya, of the Dvar Mitzvah, and that exempts the Shliach Bezdin from Golos. And that is, according to the Ravid, a very far-reaching conclusion. The Shliach Bezdin gave him a 40th lash and he died. He doesn't go into Golos. Why? Because he was involved in a mitzvah. Right? He was involved in a mitzvah. It's like the case the Gemara has in Reb Loza the Mila and Shabbos, that if the Moel accidentally kills the child, he doesn't have to bring a Korban Chatas. Because a Korban Chatas, you bring in a Shogeg when you're involved in a Dvar Mishuv. But if you're involved in an Osik B'mitzvah, then you don't go into, you don't have to bring a Korban Chatas. Here also, you're involved in a mitzvah, you don't go into Golos. So he was involved in a mitzvah, says the Rai. But again, he went a little bit too far, he gave him a 40th lash, but that's called involvement in Dvar Mitzvah. So the Rambam says, we're talking about a whole different scenario, where the Shliach Bezdin is beating up this guy to try to get him to agree to show up in Bezdin, and he accidentally killed the guy. You would think that he goes into Golos. He certainly killed him, we have no doubt about it. But the answer is, he did it as a mitzvah of the Osei on the part of Bezdin. But we understand very well that the Rambam and the Ravid are avoiding the pshat of Rashi and the Rivan, because if it's the Shliach Bezdin, I give you another reason why he doesn't go into Golos. Forget about Dumya Dvar, it's a mitzvah, it's not a Rishus. Why isn't he going to Golos? Because there's no what? There's no Maaser Tzicha. How do I know it's not a Maaser Tzicha? He didn't kill him? There were other factors that played into this? Because they did an Umdana. As a result of the Umdana, they determined it's Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. So how does Rashi and the Rivan, how are they justified to interpret the Gemara of Abba Shaul and the analogy, the equation to Chativas Eitzim Rishus to exclude the Shliach Bezdin who's involved in a mitzvah? How do they justify that? If it's within the context of a Shliach Bezdin who's meeting out the Malkus, then it's Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. Of course they don't get to Golis. Even if it was a amazing situation, he wouldn't go to Golis, because he wouldn't get killed, I should say. Why? Because it's not a Maaser Tzicha. The Omed of Bezdin determines that Ein Bo Kidei Lahavis. So that leads us to the paragraph in Tiritz. And Reb Chaim says the following, that Umdana does not equal Ein Bo Kidei Lahavis. In other words, when Bezdin in a murder trial tries to figure out if he hit him with a blow that killed him or not, maybe there were other factors that contributed to his death, that determination of Ein Bo Kidei Lahavis is not to be equated with Umdana. The purpose of Umdana is a totally different purpose. And what they have to determine through this Umdana is not Ein Bo Kidei Lahavis. Because again, as we said before, Ein Bo Kidei Lahavis means that the victim died because of other factors that caused his death. That's not the discussion about an Umdana in the case of a Shliach Bezdin as to how many Malkas he can mete out. There the discussion is whether or not we have to be choshesh, we have to worry about the possibility of his dying. We have to get a health expert, a team of physicians, and determine up front whether or not he can tolerate these malchus, or how many malchus he can tolerate with before he drops dead. And that is not a determination that equals to yesh bo kidei lahavis or ein bo kidei lahavis. Meaning, it could be that even after the Umdana, the person who suffered the Malkus, he died as a result of those Malkus, not because of any other factor that contributed to his death. But the reason why we're going to give those Malkus is because Eino Omed Lamus, these are the words that you have to underline here. That's the third line in this paragraph of Tirtz. You see those words at the end of the third line? Eino Omed Lamus. That's the nature of the Umdana. It could very well be that he died as a result of this Hakah. The Hakah killed him. And there is a Maaser Tzicha. If the Hakah killed him, it means that we're establishing that there were no other factors here that led to his death, that contributed to his death. What did the Umdana accomplish? The Umdan accomplished that Eino Omed Lamus. How many Malkus can we give him and determine and evaluate that he won't die? Meaning, in all likelihood, he won't die. Let's give it a statistical probability. Let's say there's a 98% chance that he's going to survive these blows. That's what the Umdan has to determine. Go ahead and hit him with your number of Malkus that will give it to you, because he's not an Omed Lamus. We don't assume that statistically there's a strong probability that he'll die as a result of these Malkus. Go ahead and hit him, because there's no strong probability that he'll die. If he in fact did die, Rabosai, why did he die? So you and I would have said there must have been other factors that contributed to his death. Nein, says Reb Chaim, he died because of the Malkus. This is Yesh Bo Kidei Lahavis. You'll ask me if it's Yesh Bo Kidei Lahavis, and we have every reason to believe that he died because of the Malkus, without any admixture of any other factors that contribute to his death. You'll ask me, why do we let him, why do we go give him the green light, the license to go ahead and give him the Malkus? The answer is because they know Omed Lamus. We don't anticipate that he'll die. It's a tzad rachok, it's very unlikely that he will die. We'll give it a 1% chance that he'll die. In such a case, if there's such a small percentage, we don't have to worry about the fact that maybe he'll die. You know, the halacha works with certain statistical probabilities, and here the probability tells me clearly that he's healthy enough to take the 39 miles.
And it's not a Maaser Tzicha.
It is a Maaser Tzicha. It's a Maaser Tzicha, and therefore he should go into Golis for that. Why is it a Maaser Tzicha? Because let's look at the fact, post facto, that the man died. Why did he die? one way of saying it is because ain bo kidei is ain bo kidei lahamis, which means that he died because he had a heart attack, if you follow that. Mm-hmm. The other reason to say is that he died because he was hit, you know, flagellation, is it such a word? Yeah, the flagellation killed him.
What's that mean?
Flagell means to hit him, you know, when you hit someone in a fancy English. What?
The whipping,
the lashing, right, the flagellations, whatever word you want to use. You know, you have a whole different choice of words. The lashes, right? English is wealthy. It's rich with words to hit somebody. There's so many different words to describe how you hit somebody. I remember one country in Europe, they have a museum of torture. A whole museum. It's such sick society. Anyway, so what do I want to say? Reb Chaim is breaking new ground over here. He's saying that despite the umdana, which, you know, the health the practitioners decided that he's not going to die, it means he will likely survive. There's a very, very strong likelihood that he will survive. If he dies, Nebuchadnezzar died. Why did he die? Because of the lashes. Did we anticipate that he would die? Absolutely not. It was only outside HaRachok. Do you see that? He says, Eino Omid Lamas El Biofen Rachok. Rachok means, you know, in statistical calculation, there's always some small possibility, you know, 0.0001% of a possibility, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't give Malchus for that reason, because since it's an Eino Omid Lamas El Biofen Rachok, therefore we go ahead and we give him the green light to give the Malchus. But in fact, what happened at the end of the day, if we Bashetach, what was the actual final? He died because of what?
Because of the whipping,
because of the lashing. That's not the sugya of Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis means that given the blow and the murderer is up on trial for murder, it's impossible that he would have killed him. That's called Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. Mm-hmm. He used a light object, you know, that couldn't have possibly been responsible for his death. Either guy died. He died for other reasons, not because of the blow that he received. That's called Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. That has nothing to do with the umdana of the Shliach Bezdin. The umdana of the Shliach Bezdin is not because of Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, but rather, is he Omed Lamus, or is it very unlikely? It's so, you know, in terms of statistical probability, it's such a small, negligible possibility that he'll die because of the Malchus, that we're going to give you the okay and allow you to go ahead and give out the Malchus. At the end of the day, in that very rare case, which unfortunately, tragically, the man died, he died as a result of the Malchus. Again, it was a remote possibility, but, you know, once in a thousand years, that's what's going to happen. And this is our one in a thousand years case where he died. We didn't anticipate that he would die, but he died because of the lashes. So it's Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. No, if it's Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis and it's a shogeg, then what should we say to the Shliach Bezdin who gave out 39 Malchus and Nebuchadnezzar, this was the one in a thousand case where the victim died? You killed him. You have to go to Golis. And the answer is no. You don't go to Golis because of Dumya, the Chativa Seitzim. But don't invoke the halacha of Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, because this is a case of Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis, meaning post facto, when we do the autopsy, the results of the who's in charge of the results? I forgot what he's called. The coroner.
Yeah.
The coroner is going to send the result that you hit him and he died. There was no other factors contributed to his death. No, if you hit him and he died, then you should be going into Golis. There's a Meiser Tzicha, and you should be going into Golis for killing a person. And the answer is no. Because for Golis, you need Dumya de Chativas Eitzim. But a Meiser Tzicha we have, and we know that he killed him, and there were no other factors that contributed to his death. And in order to exempt him from Golis, we must invoke this principle of Chativas Eitzim. Otherwise, he should be going into Golis. He had a Meiser Tzicha. Now take another case where the coroner sent a different result or conclusion from his examination, and his conclusion was that there must have been other factors, and when Reuven killed Shimon, it wasn't that Reuven killed Shimon, it's that Shimon died. In such a case, Reuven is not even guilty of a Maaser Ritzicha. If he did it b'shogeg, he would certainly not go into Golus, but not because he was involved in a mitzvah. He's not involved in a mitzvah. He's not a Shliach Bezdin or anything like that. But nevertheless, he'd be exempt from Golus because it's Ein Bo Kedei L'Hametz. So in the case of Ein Bo Kedei L'Hametz, if that's what the coroner decided, he must have died for other variables in the equation, then there was no Maaser Ritzicha. The reason why he doesn't go into Golus is because there's no Maaser Ritzicha. But our case of a Shliach Bezdin, according to Rashi and the Rivan, is a case where he was responsible through his blows, through his lashes for the death of this victim. He doesn't go to Golis because he was a Shliach Bezdin and he's involved in a mitzvah and not in a Dvar Rishus. So if you've been with me until now and you're following, we're ready for the real bomb over here, so to speak. And that's the paragraph that starts Vehine Ikar. On the third line of that paragraph, he starts with a new paragraph. He starts with Yeshlis topic. It doesn't appear on your page as a new paragraph, but whenever you see those words, Yeshlis topic, you have to brace yourself for what we call a chakira. I don't know if you're familiar with the word chakira. Literally, a chakira is translated as an investigation. But a chakira means when you have a din, you have a law and a rule, and you can look at it in two different ways. You can define it in two different perspectives. So how would you define this cup? Yossi, you want to be my guinea pig here?
I define it as a cup that's half full of water.
Okay. And I'm going to define it as a cup that's half empty from water. That's called a chakira.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in the yeshivas, they used to joke around, that's called a telza chakira. So I have a friend, he lives up the block here. I don't know if he's still with Machon Lev. Anyway, so he came from Cleveland. And that's where the Telz Yeshiva is. So he studied in Telz. And then he came to Rav Soloveitchik's class. On the first day in the class, Rav Soloveitchik was asking for an explanation. So he raised his hand, which is not a good idea in Rav Soloveitchik's class. And certainly not your first day, and certainly not when you're coming from Telz in Cleveland. And he gave a hesber. And Rav Soloveitchik had no idea who he was and where he showed up from. And he says, that's a Telzer Chakir. So he said, Rebbe, ich bin a Telzer. He said, I am a Telzer. And that's so. Is the cup half empty or half filled? And you can look at it in two different ways. Maybe if you're an optimist, it's half full, and if you're a pessimist, it's half empty. So that's a chakir. So now he has a chakir. What happens in the case of umdana? A man violated a crime. He's chayav 39 malchus. They made an umdana, and they determined that his body can only tolerate, let's say, 13 malchus, right? 13 malchus. Yeshlis topic. How do we define this? His first definition is that he's chai of 39 malchus. The only problem is that the Torah says v'chai bohem. There's something called pikuach nefesh. And pikuach nefesh is docha kol haTorah kula. So on the one hand we have a mitzvah, a chiv to give him malchus, and that means 39. But on the other hand, we can't give him 39 because the Torah says we have to override this mitzvah because of pikuach nefesh. But again, he remains chayav in 39. It's like, for example, a person is obligated to fast on Yom Kippur. And the doctors say that if he fasts, he'll die. So the Torah says, v'chayav v'lo shiyomas behem. So he has to eat. But he's really chayav to fast. And that chayav is not uprooted by pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh just blocks the mitzvah befall. It means you can't implement the mitzvah because the man will die, and that suffix that he might die overrides any mitzvah in the Torah. But in truth, this person is chayav how many malchus? 39 malchus. So if you're writing notes here, you might write Roman numeral number 1. Roman numeral number 1 says that even if after the umdana we determine that his body could only tolerate and he could only survive 13 malchus, he's chayav 39 malchus. But pikuach nefesh tells me that, you know, to ties my hands and says I can't hit him more than 13 times because pikuach nefesh is docha the mitzvah, the chiyuv of giving him malchus. But he's really chayav how many malchus? 39 malchus. things. Now, he says the same tzad in a slightly different way, but I don't want you to be confused here. We're not yet ready for the second definition. We're still in the first definition. He's really chayv 39 malkas. But the reason why we don't give him 39 malkas, even though he deserves 39 malkas, is because the chiyuv was to give him malkas and not to kill him. If we give him the full 39 malkas, he's going to die. And then we're not fulfilling the chiyuv. The chiyuv is to give him malkas, but he should survive the malkas. Again, in both formulations, the bottom line is that he's chayv 39 malkas. We're not going to implement that either because of pikuach nefesh or because that would mean that we paskin that he's chayv misa and he's only chayv malkas.
Well, the purpose of the lashes were to help him to do teshuva.
Atone, right?
To atone. I mean, so when he's done, he'll. Yeah.
Well, that's going to be the second side. The first side is that really he needs 39 malkas. Again, we have a problem here because what blocks our ability to implement those malkas is pikuach nefesh. Mm-hmm. Or if he dies, then you're giving him a different chiyuv than what he was, you know, he was condemned for malkas, he was not condemned for misa.
Right.
But again, in conceptual terms, not in practical terms, but conceptually, he is chayv 39 full malkas, the whole gamut. Oh, now he's up to the second side. And again, if you want to follow the text inside, it's about 10 lines up from the bottom of this paragraph, Hine Ikar. And the line that we're focused on starts with the word Nischayev, again, if that helps anybody. And then you'll see at the end of that line, oh, which I underlined in my page, because O is always the turning point. And here he defines it in a different way. When we derive halacha of umdana, which the Gemara is going to derive from a pasuk, Gzeiras HaKasuv, what it's telling us is that the umdana is going to determine how many malkas he has to get. What is the nature and the scope of the chiyuv malkas? How many malkas should he get? In a normal case, if a person can tolerate 39 malkas, he's chayv 39 malkas. In another case where he's not up to full health, he's not one of these heavyweight champions. So in such a case, he can only take 13 malkas, and he's chayv 13 malkas, but he's not chayv 39 malkas. But again, Rabosai, we have halacha that of umdana. We have two ways of defining the umdana. One way of defining the umdana is that if he could only tolerate 39 malkas, then we have a problem with pikuach nefesh. We go beyond the 13 malkas that he can certainly tolerate, then we've entered into the gray area, the suffix of pikuach nefesh. But he's really chayv 39 malkas. And the second way of interpreting is no, he's not chayv 39 malkas. He's only chayv 13 malkas. When he does the avera, what is he chayv? Well, we're going to need the experts to decide what punishment he should get. Obviously, he gets malkas, but how many malkas should he get? And the experts are going to tell me how many malkas he's obligated to get. And if they determine that we can't jeopardize his life by going beyond 13 malkas, then according to the second side, the Gzeres HaKosov of Umdana tells me he's only chayv that amount that the experts determine that he can tolerate. And if that's 13, then he's chayv 13, not beyond. It's not that we're introducing Hippikuach Nefesh from the side, but really he's chayv 39 malchus. No, what we're saying is that the Umdana is going to determine what the nature of his chayv malchus is. And if they determine, based on his health, that he can only tolerate he could only tolerate 13 malkas, then that's what he's chayv. He's chayv 13 malkas. Let's read it inside. He says, "O Dilma de Gzeres HaKosavu, she'eno mechuyiv lamites malachas." There's no absolute chiyuv of lamites malkas, right? Did I say malachas? I meant, okay, you see my head is in Hilchos Shabbos, because that's, we're learning about Malachas Shabbos in the Ksuvah Shir. But lamites malkas, and he says the following: Ki'im, he's not chayav 39 malkas. He's only chayav the shear of malkas that he can tolerate, that his body can tolerate. And Yosef Mikfisha Amdinon, as if you talk about numbers that go beyond our Umdina, what is the Umdina? The Umdina is Sheyachal Kabel Belicha Shashmisa. How many lashes can he take without a serious fear of death? Is beyond that, Eino Chayav Lilkos. Not like we said in the first approach that he's chayav even beyond that, up to 39 full malchus, but we can't give it to him because of Pikuach Nefesh, because the possibility that he may die. But now we're saying something much more fundamental, and we're saying that he's not chayav malchus beyond the Yochel Lekabel. Now Reb Chaim is going to try to claim that this chakira is dependent upon the machlokas that we discussed at great length between Rashi and the Rivan on one hand and the Rambam and the Raivan on the other hand. Let's see how Reb Chaim pulls this off. He says, "Denafkemina bazeh im haomed b'malkus." When we evaluate how many malkus he can take, who shahavi hakosh aimbo kde lahamis. What is the goal of the Umdana? Are we trying to determine something called Hakosh Einbo Kedela Hamis? That is what we're trying to establish. Or another possibility is the Omeid Lohavi She'einbo Kedela Hamis Kiim Diafagav Dieshbo Kedela Hamis Mikomokom Amdinon She'eno Omeid Lamus V'ein lachshosh sheyomus al yidei hakazu. In other words, even if the hakaz is yeshbo kedei lamis, but we need to have a situation of protection, so to speak, of security, that we're calm that he won't die, because that's the statistical probabilities. So therefore, ein chashash sheyomus. We don't have a reason to seriously doubt or consider that he might die. Is mutol hakosa. We're allowed to hit him with a hakosh yeshbo kedei lahamis because he's ain't an omeid lahamis. You remember that distinction of Chaim? Afagav deshayek lahamus al yidei hakazu. So it's really kedei lahamis, but since it's a tzad rachok, therefore we're not going to assume that he will die, and we can give the malchus. So those are the two definitions of umdana, and let's see how they apply to this chakira. He says the following: the e name of the bemes chiyuvo adayin lilkos lamentes hakos dakti efshel kaim chiyuvo. If we're going to go with the first tzad, that really he's chayav all 39 malchus. We're not going to give him 39 malchus because of the principle called pikuach nefesh, which is docha kol ator kula. And therefore, the mitzvah of Malkus is going to be overridden or trumped by the Pikuach Nefesh element. Okay. Is then Ein Trichin Lamod She'ein Bo Kedei Lahamis El Afilu Havi Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. All we have to do is neutralize the element of Pikuach Nefesh. And if we can do that by statistically diminishing the possibility of death to a very, very small, 0.00 percentage, then we can go ahead and give him the malchus. And it doesn't mean that if Chas V'Shalom he died on his own. He didn't die on his own. He died because of the malchus. And it's Yeshbo Kedei Lahamis. But there's another halacha called Pikuach Nefesh. And that's what the Umdin is all about. The Umdin is about Pikuach Nefesh. Is there a serious statistical probability that he might die? And therefore, we're not going to give him malchus. Now, if you could fast forward to the word ulam, and maybe we'll fill in the missing part later if we have time. So the word ulam appears about, I would say, 12 lines down from the top, I'm just guessing. And the first word of the line is she'im. You see where it says she'im yamus?
Yeah.
So towards the end of the line, ulam, e name of the yesh gzeres hakosim b'parashas malchus, she'eno mechuyev lametes melachos. Now, Now, Shibush that came in the all, the Gemara says. Once you make a mistake, you repeat the same mistake over and over again. So it's whenever I say malachus, I mean malchus, right? Lamites malchus. So what we're saying now is that there's a more fundamental approach to umdana, and what the umdana is going to determine is how many malchus he's chayev. So we're shifting from a chiv of lamites malchus to a chiv of, let's say, 13 malchus. Ki im shemechuiv rak kashir ha'omeid. And we're going to do this umdana and decide what the nature of the chiyuv is and how expansive is the scope of the chiyuv. And we're going to determine that instead of having a full blown chiyuv of 39 malchus, this man could only tolerate, let's say, 13 malchus. Havi din chadash, this is a brand new din. Shal malchus eino yochol lios hakos misa. Now we're establishing a halacha in the hakah itself, that the hakah has to be a hakah that's mufka from misa, that's excluded from misa. V'chol she'meis nitle she'meis machmas hakah is then it becomes hakah's misa. In other words, any hakah which we would say has the potential of killing him, and if he died, we would, you know, the coroner would tell us that he died because of that hakah. In such a case, he doesn't get those malchus. Why? Because he'll only get malchus, which is ein bo kedei lahanis. So let's just try to figure out what Reb Chaim accomplished for us. Do we have a few more minutes?
Sure.
Or maybe we have to stop now. I wasn't aware of the time. So most I will stop here because I made a mistake. I wasn't aware of the time. Your time flies when you're having fun. And we'll try, you know, if you can take this home with you and get a chance to sort of review it on your own, it'll be a lot easier for me to teach it. Okay, then, so
what's the
Nitle, we will attribute.
Okay.